on Washington, Monday, March 2nd, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the Dow tanks again. The Dow Jones Industrial Average loses nearly 300 points on Monday. The Dow now well south of the 7,000-point barrier. We'll talk about why investors have virtually no confidence these days when we speak with Tara Jones, Associate Editor at Investors Business Daily. How much of it is simply the dismal economic conditions right now, and how much of it is a complete lack of confidence in the policies coming out of Washington. Also in this edition, the future of Ford. We'll talk with Dave Finnegan, Marketing Manager for the Ford Fusion, about how the automaker is adjusting to the highly growing consumer demand for cars more than trucks. We'll also find out how Ford, to this point anyway, has managed to avoid having its hand out like GM and Chrysler, asking for taxpayer dollars just to stay afloat. Plus, Obama finally chooses a new nominee for Health and Human Services Secretary. The choice is Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius, but we'll be joined by Wendy Wright, President of Concerned Women for America, and find out why she believes this is a terrible choice for the nation, and especially the unborn. And remembering a radio legend, Paul Farhi of The Washington Post is with us to talk about the life and legacy of the one and only Paul Harvey. All that, plus Monday's top news, follows our discussion with Terry Jones of Investors Business Daily on another horrendous day on Wall Street, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Terry Jones, Associate Editor at Investors Business Daily. We want to get his thoughts on the latest deeply down day on Wall Street as the Dow Jones Industrials now slips well below the 7,000-point barrier. And Terry, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, if investors blink too long, they kind of miss the run through the 7,000s. We really are sinking like a stone here, another drop of essentially 300 points here on Monday. What's the biggest reason for this?
Well, I think the biggest reason is a lack of clarity. I think people see the these plans for more spending, for no clear resolution of the financial problems that afflict the markets, and an ever-expanding amount of government involved in their businesses. And I think there's a great deal of gloominess about it all right now. I think they thought there would be some sort of turnaround by now, and that we would have perhaps a fix in the works, but nothing that's been produced so far, either in the budget or from the regulatory standpoint, seems to have thrilled the market at all.
What specific clarity do you think investors are waiting to hear most?
Well, I think for one thing, I think they would like to know what their taxes are going to be sometime in the next 2 or 3 years. We keep seeing that President Obama wants to raise taxes a considerable amount, $1.4 trillion over the next 10 years. And a lot of people are starting to do the math on that and thinking, well, that's not a very positive thing for growth. It's going to hurt the economy, and the economy, of course, drives profits, and those profits will ultimately filter through to stock prices. So people are discounting the future slower growth and bigger debt burdens that the government is going to take on. And as they do so, I think they're increasingly moving to the sidelines.
To what extent are investors, are they basically looking for help from Washington, or are they mostly looking for Washington not to screw up the fundamentals needed for a recovery?
Well, I think I think it's more the latter. I think there's when you listen to a lot of people who are engaged, at least actively engaged in both saving and investing, when you talk to them, they say, yeah, things are pretty bad, but ordinarily the economy bounces back after a year or so, and we get going again. And this time it doesn't seem to be happening. And the only thing that's different really this time is that we have had a massive amount of federal government intervention into what were once private, fairly freely operating markets, and that massive intervention does not seem to have taken hold or done anything positive, despite the spending of well over $1 trillion. So I think the notion that the federal government really is kind of in an amateur hour here and doesn't really know what it's doing has suddenly come home in a very serious way. And you look at the overall market, it's lost a little over $3 trillion since Obama took office, and that's just not a good thing. It doesn't say much for what the market thinks of his policies.
Terry, just follow up on that if you can, because obviously the market's a high, at least in terms of the Dow, is north of 14,000. We're clearly less than 50% of that now. So what does that say about where we stand right now fiscally?
Well, as I've always said, the stock market is a discounting mechanism, and by discounting I mean it looks to the future and sees what it expects profits and opportunities to be, and then adjusts prices accordingly. And this has been a huge vote of no confidence, and I would say it started in President Bush's last year, so that, President Obama can't be blamed for all this. But certainly none of the things he has proposed so far have in any way reversed the trend, and in some ways have accelerated it. So we're in a real serious downturn here, largely because I think we've had two presidents that in the last year and a half have gotten economic policy exactly wrong and probably taking us in the wrong direction.
We're talking with Terry Jones, Associate Editor at Investors Business Daily. And Terry, when you talk about the spending plans, is it that folks are just leery about this massive, massive price tag they're seeing? Or do they see a price tag and they're just not really confident about where the money's going?
I think it's both of those things. And I think there's a lot of a confusion out there because they keep seeing these things pop up, a stimulus package, a new spending bill of $410 billion, a new proposal to spend well over $1 trillion on TARP 2. The numbers just become staggering, and people get sort of numb to it all, and they realize that these people are spending and spending and spending, and that at some point they're going to end up paying for it. And by paying for it, it's quite obvious what that means. That means higher taxes in the future. And higher taxes always kill economic growth. There's never been a case in the history of the United States where we've had a massive increase in taxes followed by a major surge in economic growth. It just doesn't happen. So I think people are, and by people I mean the 100 million or so people who are investors in either mutual funds or stocks, are looking to the future and saying we're going to have an economy that's going to be growing maybe 2% rather than 3%, and over time that makes a huge difference in wealth and incomes and all sorts of things, and it's a very, very negative psychology to break.
And Terry, you talked about clarity and you've talked about confidence. So one of the things we've seen in the past couple of days is yet another infusion of TARP money for AIG, the massive insurance company, of course. When it looks like a lot of money is going into there, but not much is being resolved in terms of the financial crisis up on Wall Street, how does that impact investors? Does one company have that big of an impact, or is it kind of emblematic that TARP's not necessarily doing what it's supposed to do?
Well, TARP isn't doing what it's supposed to do. I mean, I think it's barely kept the financial industry above water just by dumping, repeated infusions of capital into the system. But in the case of AIG, the fear has always been AIG is such a massive company, and it's got so many counterparties to so many of its securities and so many outstanding liabilities in different parts of the economy, including the financial sector, that if it were to go belly up, there would be a cataclysmic meltdown in the financial markets that would essentially freeze up the entire system and halt all lending. That's always been the story. And I have to say that I at least believed it last summer when they initially proposed what to me at the time seemed to be an extraordinary amount of money for the financial system, $700 billion. But now I'm not so sure. I think they've just been spending money in a wild and reckless way. Nobody can account for how it's been spent. It just seems to be dumped down a black hole, and the companies come back 3 months later and say, we need more. So I'm not sure that how much any of this is helping, and I'm reasonably certain that if we had merely taken the nasty recession that it seems we were due, that last year, we might be climbing out of this by now.
Terry, do you see any light at the end of the tunnel here, or is this tunnel pretty long and pretty dark?
Well, I think the fiscal tunnel is in fact both long and dark, but I cling to my hope and my earlier prediction I made that the economy will start a kind of recovery in the second half of this year, though I would be surprised if it was a rip-roaring recovery. I expect it to be a very slow one, but there has been a tremendous amount of money poured into the economy, and interest rates are very low, and at some point banks will have written down and written off a lot of the damaged goods, or the goods that are most damaged on their balance sheets, and will start to lend again. And I would expect and hope that would happen in the second half of this year.
About 60 seconds left with Terry Jones of Investors Business Daily. And Terry, one of the indicators a lot of folks use to gauge the health or the direction of the economy anyway is consumer spending. And for the first time in a few months, that was actually up in January. How encouraging is that?
It's moderately encouraging. I mean, a lot of it had to do with higher pay for government employees, not for the private sector, and a good deal of the private sector improvement has to do with lower inflation in terms of the real gains in incomes. But that said, you know, you can sort of niggle and nitpick these data to bits every time they come out. The fact of the matter is, it's always better to have income rising and spending rising than to have the reverse. And if it happens again next month, then you know, we've got a trend, and a trend is a good thing, especially when it comes to income, which forms about 2/3 of our GDP.
Well, Terry, next week you and I will talk about the latest consumer optimism numbers. I'm not too optimistic about what they're going to look like, but I look forward to visiting with you again about that. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Terry Jones, Associate Editor at Investors Business Daily. This is Dateline Washington.